So a premix allows the blender to concentrate all those nutrients, and the way ups become much higher. Allows us to scale up, and then they just take a portion of what we've blended, what we pre-mixed, and then they add that into their finished food, which then allows them to have better mixing, better dispersion into that finished food. So it's a way to essentially add, you know, up to 20, 30 different micronutrients into that finished food and have them, you know, actually weighed and dispersed and make, you know, every single bite of kibble be nutritionally balanced and complete.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible. Corbion's Alga Prime DHA P3, the algae-based omega-3 DHA to boost brain cognition, immune system, and well-being. Adding it to pet food is easier than ever. Bioregion, your partner in yeast ingredients for palatability, immunity, and nutrition. Complete solutions for every pet diet. Learn about the benefits of working with Schooler. Visit schooler.com/pet. That's schooler.com/pet. Young Generation Oral and Gut Health Solutions with antibodies from egg yolk. IGY technology. Research-driven. Pet-approved.
Welcome to the Pet Food Science Podcast, where we will take a deep dive into the science, trends, and innovations shaping the way that we feed our pets. Whether you're a pet owner, an industry professional, or simply interested in learning more about what goes into your pet's diet, this space is for you. I'm your host, Dr. Kate Shoveler. I'm a professor of companion animal nutrition at the University of Guelph with a background in comparative animal nutrition and a passion for understanding how evidence-based approaches can improve the health and well-being of our animals and enhance our own lives. On today's podcast, we have Dr. Trevor Faber from Trow Nutrition USA. Trevor is a PhD and joined the Trow Nutrition team in 2015 as a companion animal nutritionist. He is currently the Director of Companion Animal Nutrition. He oversees blend formulation and provides technical assistance for Trow's pet food customers. In addition, collaborates with global Trow colleagues to enhance pet nutrition and innovative products for the industry. He has worked in the pet food industry for more than 13 years now, and I've been blessed to know him for that entire 13 years. And Trevor earned his MS and PhD in companion animal nutrition from the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign, studying under the advisement of Dr. George Fahey. Welcome back, Trevor.
Yeah, glad to be back. Glad to be here again. This is great.
Yeah, I was hoping for a great, catchy, long-time listener, second-time guest. So Trevor is coming back to join us again today, but to specifically talk about why blending is very important for nutrition and how Trow approaches that blending. So let's just get right into that, Trevor. Let's start at the top with What does Trow blend for their customers? We'll start there and then we'll get into the nutrition application.
So our main focus historically has always been vitamins and trace minerals. The main core nutrients that are needed in most diets. But also, you know, we've over the years, as the pet food industry has diversified their raw materials, their portfolio of ingredients, you know, we've grown and diversified with them. So now we blend fruits, vegetables, herbs, spices, a lot of different functional ingredients. So you think about prebiotics, joint health supplements, those types of ingredients. We'll blend probiotics as well for customers and blend them in with palatants and other types of ingredients to help, you know, promote that probiotic space. And we're also blending different types of commodity ingredients. So grains, protein meals, and kind of entering into that whole base blend, flour blend type product. So, our capabilities now range from, low inclusion, highly concentrated vitamins and trace minerals all the way to, high inclusion base blends of grains and commodities. With that, just customer demand has cause us to evolve that way. We're always looking to help, provide those solutions through a blend, just because of the benefits they can provide to the pet food manufacturing space. And that's pretty much our core focus.
84 million times a day, pets eat meals with ingredients from Trow Nutrition. We bring together the science of ingredients, nutrition, and blending to unleash possibilities for pet food brands. Premixes are just the start.
turn to Trow for higher inclusion ingredients too, like proteins and carbohydrates, and highly sensitive ingredients like probiotics. With our palatants and base blends, you can feel confident about what comes in our bags and goes in yours. Learn more at TrowNutritionPets.com.
So before we get into the nutrition, you have evolved, and I've watched Trow's evolution evolving from micro premixes into these commodity blends, as you referred to them. Are there maybe for everybody listening, because we don't just have the pet food industry here. We also have owners and pet nutritionists that listen to the podcast as well. Can you talk about kind of the different inclusion levels that you would be looking at and the different concerns you may have with blending really large volumes in contrast to blending really small volumes of something?
Yeah, I'll start with kind of the high inclusion stuff. So we would call them base blends or flour blends, what have you. So they're protein meals, your other commodity ingredients, grains, oats and potato starches and pea flours and that type. And, that inclusion rate's typically, 5 to 90% of the diet. And with that, we're providing a lot of, naturally derived type products. And so the nutrition profile is pretty broad. And so, we might add 4 or 5 different protein sources and some different sources of starches and blends. And really the idea with those for a pet food manufacturer is just to ease on the manufacturing side. Think of it as like a cake mix you buy at the grocery store. You could go to the grocery store and buy flour and sugar and cocoa powder, baking powder, baking soda, all these things. And then you have to store and warehouse those ingredients in your facility. If you get those pre-blended, like a cake mix does, you're essentially buying one blend, one product, and it has everything weighed out, the right amounts, the right proportions. It's been quality checked, verified, and they can just add that right into their manufacturing equipment, whether it be a canning retort or extrusion or freeze-dried facility. And then, they can just add a few other liquid ingredients and then you make your finished food. So it's very, it's more of an easy manufacturing perspective. But, I would say almost all pet foods use some sort of vitamin or trace mineral premix, which is kind of definitely a niche, unique industry that you find just because of, essentially the risks that come with vitamins and trace minerals. We talk about vitamins and trace minerals, they are, synthetic, purified, highly concentrated sources of nutrients. And they only provide one nutrient. So we talk about, there's one source of vitamin E, one source of vitamin A, one source of B12. And so, those are really low inclusion rate ingredients into the finished food. If we just talk about like a 30-pound bag of dog food, there's about 0.2 grams of folic acid in that entire bag. And so we're talking really slow, low inclusions, 0.0015% of the total diet. So getting those to, if you're at a manufacturing site and you're trying to weigh up that amount, that low amount of like folic acid, and then get that dispersed into your finished food, that makes it really challenging and difficult, especially this with weighing accuracy, but then also dispersion and, good mixing. So essentially how the premix industry came about is, it was expensive to purchase, these 10 to 12 different vitamins, other than 6 different trace minerals that we typically add. It's expensive to source those. The weigh-ups are very low. And so a premix allows the blender to concentrate all those nutrients and the weigh-ups become much higher. So when we're making a batch of premix, we might be weighing up 40 to 60 kilograms of vitamin A 1000. But in that finished food, it might be, just a couple grams in that finished food. So allows us to scale up. And then they just take a portion of what we've blended, what we pre-mixed, and then they add that into their finished food, which then allows them to have better mixing, better dispersion into that finished food. So it's a way to essentially add, up to 20, 30 different micronutrients into that finished food and have them, actively weighed and dispersed and make, every single bite of kibble be nutritionally balanced and complete. But the scaling of that is kind of where things get tricky. So if we, if we make a 2,000 pound batch of premix, which is a small run for us, it's you know, we make several batches a day that we've premixed. That one 2,000 pound batch would equal about 400 tons of pet food. So 800,000 pounds of finished pet food. And if we bag that off into 20 pound bags, that's 40,000 bags of food that we're impacting. And, you know, that's sort of like a 0.25% inclusion rate, and which is kind of dilute. And a lot of times we have premixes that have like a 0.1% inclusion, which would be 100,000 bags of finished pet food that would be impacted. And so kind of where, you know, the risk comes into play is, say that, you know, that small 2,000 pound batch of premix, you know, ingredient was missed. You know, something was added at the wrong weight. So, you know, 10X or something higher. That's 100,000 animals that are being impacted by that. And that animal is going to consume that 20 pound bag for, you know, 4 to 6 weeks of their life. And that's when we can see nutritional deficiencies and toxicities occur. So it's, you know, with the premix in the blending industry, there's, we almost kind of take it for granted. You buy your premix, you add it and you go, and you, you know, you kind of, you know, knocked off 10 or 12 different micronutrients you need. But on that blending side, if that's done wrong, if you have poor dispersion of that ingredient, or things segregate apart, or, you know, there's an error in the batching sequence, you know, there's a huge impact to that animal in the long run. And it impacts, you know, a vast majority of animals at a time. And it's, you know, this is kind of exasperated a little bit on the pet food side, because on the livestock side, usually, you know, a batch of premix would last, you know, maybe a couple of days. You know, the animal could consume that really rapidly. You know, we're talking about high volumes moving through feed mills and facilities. You know, and so if, you know, the animal might be vitamin deficient for a day or two, but then the next batch of premix comes in and, you know, everything gets corrected. But, you know, the way the pet food supply chain works is just, is different. And so that's where the risk and concerns come into play, and why you see so many quality checks on the premix side to ensure accuracy.
Okay, so let's maybe dive into the individual nutrients. On your kind of macro scale, your commodity blending, I don't think that you have as much concern about individual nutrients because you have a lot of intact ingredients. But as you go to addition of micronutrients, this becomes a lot more important to ensure that your quality checks are in place in terms of your nutrient density, right, Trevor?
Yep.
And in that micro blend, are there certain vitamins and or minerals that you spend more time being concerned about?
Yes and no. Yes and that. There's a focus on every nutrient, because, you know, if a diet is devoid and even like, you know, folic acid or some low inclusion micronutrient, you know, that deficiency can occur and, you know, metabolic effects can occur. So every batch has to be completely accurate. But, you know, the industry does a lot of positive release testing on micronutrients on premixes to ensure that everything is correct. And as you can imagine, the number one ingredient is, or nutrient that is tested, is vitamin D3. And just because really around that tight tolerance of the min to the max and from the AFCO regulations on, you know, how tight that tolerance is. So vitamin D, is, you know, positive release tested on so many different premixes. And even so, but also, you know, vitamin A is a big concern, vitamin B1, the thiamine, especially in canned diets, that's a big concern. And then on the trace mineral side, we do a lot of selenium, iodine, and zinc testing. And so some of these are just to verify that the blend was, you know, mixed properly, that, you know, we have good dispersion of those nutrients, because, you know, we'll, you know, a batch is made and then they'll grab, you know, 100 gram sample out of there, and that's sent off for analytical testing. And so, you know, if the dispersion wasn't correct, that one sample would have a high or low result. And so that'd be indicative of, you know, poor dispersion, poor mixing, which is not ideal either, because then, you know, if you have a batch that's not properly dispersed, you can have pockets of high nutrients and low nutrients. And so there's some animals that might be in risk of toxicity, and you'd have some animals that might be in risk of deficiency out of the same batch of premix, just because things were not properly mixed and conveyed.
So on the scientific academic basis, we would always take, you know, whether, you know, we can talk about how difficult nutrient analysis is in general. And this is a really great example. You have a huge batch, 1,000-pound batch. How many grab samples, how many places in that batch do you take? And then my next question to build on that is, if you see disparity between your nutrient concentrations in different parts of your blend, do you reblend and resample first to see if it was the blending or it was inaccurate addition? Now I'm just horribly curious.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of checks and balances that we do along the way. So if we get a bad result, we first go back to the raw material. We'll look at C of A's and we'll look at our potency testing on the inbound raw material just to make sure, double check everything was in spec. Then we'll go into, you know, when we're sampling our premixes, we have what we call like an auto sampler. So it's taking a little bit of an aliquot out of, you know, for every bag that's coming out. And then we mix that up homogeneously and then send that to the lab. Which, you know, so we assume that's a representative sample of the batch. But even still, if we talk about like vitamin D testing, a lot of times it's a 1-2 gram sample. So we might collect 250 grams out of a, you know, 4,000 pound batch. Now all of a sudden, you know, we're narrowing that down to 250 grams. Now we're narrowing that down to 1 gram at the analytical lab level. And, you know, we've had a lot of challenges with labs and having those conversations on, you know, is your sample representative? You know, we talk a lot about particle size and that if we talk about, like, especially vitamin D3, if it's a low inclusion of D3 into that mix, well, let's just say you grab a 1 gram sample. Let's just say that there might be 10 particles of D3 in that 1 gram. Now, if, you know, they grab five extra particles and they're now we're at 150% of target, or if we're missing five particles, now we're at half the potency. So a lot of times our first approach is let's go back and resample. So we'll go, you know, find a bag that's representative in that batch, grab another sample, get a fresh sample, send that back out to the lab, because even, you know, there's segregation that can occur within that sample bag that we have. The lab may not have properly remixed that blend to eliminate that segregation. The analytical testing, there's a lot of places where things can go wrong within that. So a fresh sample is always a good place to start. And then also our quality teams always do the, you know, review the batch checker. We'll look at things of, you know, make sure that the right ingredients were weighed up, and, you know, what was the mix time, and, you know, how's the premix design? Because, you know, we can add an ingredient to any mix, but if that mix is not designed in a way to work well with the other ingredients, they won't mix well together. You know, we won't have good dispersion. And so then that's where we can add issues and challenges as well.
And that's really about the physical chemical properties, right? Whether for lack of definitely not good terminology here, but whether those ingredients clump or they're hygroscopic or they're hydrophilic, or so you also have chemists then that you work with that, or chemical engineers maybe, that have a really good idea about how they interact on a physical chemical basis, right?
You're exactly right. It's, you know, when we blend ingredients, you know, the ingredients are there to deliver the nutrients. But we need those ingredients to be, you know, properly, you know, evenly dispersed in the blend, and to, you know, homogeneous and not segregate throughout transportation and even, you know, dumping it into a bin and then, you know, dosing out of a bin. If you think about like a jar of sand and marbles, you can shake that up. But if you kind of lightly shake that over time, the marbles go to the top, the sand goes to the bottom. So if we have, you know, differing particle sizes, even with a blend, that segregation occurs. And all of a sudden you could have some, you know, fine vitamins sift to the bottom, and you could have some, you know, larger, you know, coarse particles of, you know, oats or whatever slide to the top. And all of a sudden you have the disparity within that blend. You know, at Trow, we have a blend call or facility called the Ingredient Research Center. And that's, we have a lab technician that all she evaluates is the physical properties of our raw materials. So particle size, number of particles per gram, particle shape, you know, flowability, hygroscopicity, dustiness, You know, and then we also do, you know, measure the pH and all those, because, you know, all those are a big factor of, you know, how well is this blend going to flow? How well are these ingredients going to mix? You know, the particle shape is a big factor. Round little beadlets will, you know, blend really well. They'll disperse very well. If you have irregular shapes of, like, you know, say fibrous ingredients, they're not going to want to move very well within that mixer. And so that also causes some challenges. And so then what do we have to, you know, as a formulator, how do I compensate for that? You know, when I formulated pet foods, I was thinking about, you know, the cook and how do I promote, you know, extrusion and kibble gelatinization. Now I'm thinking about, you know, what are the physical properties of my raw materials in this dry blend and how do I make sure I have a good dispersion? So we don't just formulate on nutrients, but we also formulate on physical properties. And if something is going to be very dusty, then, you know, we know to add additives in there to limit that dust. Or if things are going to clump and harden and be hygroscopic and, you know, become terrible, you know, then we'll add in like flow agents and other diluents just to help promote that flowability and prevent that. Because, you know, if a blend is, you know, hard as a rock or whatever, then that provides no nutrition and no benefits. And then to your point about the chemistry, it's, you know, pH is a big factor as well. So we have, you know, a lot of people want to add acidifiers into their diets, which then are going to degrade vitamins. But also we can't forget about like iron and copper, which are oxidizing agents, which will oxidize fats and other things that we add into the diet. So just because we can add it into our mixer doesn't necessarily mean that you should. Because when we start mixing these ingredients, chemistry happens. And you know, there's a story out there that is quite interesting in that the customer had a blend with copper sulfate, flaxseed meal, and choline chloride. And that got mixed. And then they put that into a tote bag, like a large white tote sack that was shipped to the Southeast and sat in humid conditions. That choline chloride is very hygroscopic and it drew in moisture, which solubilized the copper sulfate. So the copper and sulfate separated. Now we had free copper within that premix, which then oxidized the fats in the flaxseed meal, which then causes heat to be released. And what was occurring was actually the core of those super sacks, those big tote bags, was actually charred and there was smoke coming out of the top because of the exothermic reaction. And so, I mean, that's a very extreme example. And that's probably the only time in my life I've heard that occur. But that shows, you know, just because we're, you know, blending powdered ingredients together and they seem inert, we are doing chemical reactions within these blends. So that's where, to your point of, you know, knowing your chemistry, knowing the reactions that are going to happen with these ingredients is really important, especially on the blending side, because we're putting things in a tight concentration. So, you know, in a finished pet food diet, you know, the choline and the copper sulfate and the flaxseed are going to be all separated apart from, you know, with protein meals and grains and other things. But when we put all those together in a blend, the interaction of those particles is, you know, very close and very tight. And that's when these reactions happen. And so it makes my job very interesting of thinking about, you know, I get a customer formula and they want these things blended. And I'm like, okay, what's the nutrition? What's the chemistry? What's the physical properties? And now we can go make that blend and have those conversations. So,
yeah, really, really cool story. I think for the people in ag or those who have horses or cattle, this is the whole reason why you dry your hay before you bale it.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Or this is how barns burn down. So I think that's one place that those of us who are from the country always learn.
It's time for our famous three.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
ICC Animal Nutrition, adding value to nutrition. Trow Nutrition, the science of ingredients, nutrition, and blending. Chemin Nutrisurance is your pet food and rendering partner every step of the way.
Trusted ingredients, proven performance. Wilbur Ellis Nutrition, we partner with a purpose.
So when we kind of put all of this together, Trevor, Now you've talked about both macro commodity blends, you've talked about micronutrient blends, we've talked about the importance of blending these correctly on that final kind of nutrient density that you're providing to the customer. But when you're working with different pet food companies, what do you as a blender take into account when you're formulating that blend for a particular customer? Like, what's your process? How do you go back and forth with them about what ingredients are going into those either macro or micro blends? Do you have all those the discussions about everything that you've already talked about today? And are you there saying, I know that you'd like to do that, but we can't do that for these reasons. Here's our recommendation. How do you handle all these conversations and what's the flow look like?
Yeah, it's about having a conversation with the nutritionist and the R&D team to say, you know, what are your objectives? Are we making this blend for ease of manufacturing, or, you know, are we supplementing or complementing your current nutritional profile? So we're just kind of providing that extra boost, or are we just trying to do a full, you know, blanket, you know, nutritional supplementation? So all of our micronutrients will meet APCO minimums, and then whatever else is in your raw materials and the rest of the diet will provide that extra boost. So it's kind of a you know, understanding of what are the objectives. And so from there, we start talking about, you know, nutrient sources of whether, you know, especially on the trace mineral side, you know, do you want to use inorganic trace minerals or organic trace minerals? Do you have any aversions to, you know, synthetic ingredients or, you know, naturally preserved, or what are your other types of objectives with that? And so we're literally kind of trying to build that nutritional profile that we're trying to target, but then also selecting the raw materials that will be, you know, adding to that. So very similar to what you would do on a, you know, on a finished diet formulation. But as we're doing that, you know, the big focus is also like inclusion rate. You know, sometimes a lot of customers want things highly concentrated. You know, we want to buy the least amount of volume possible because they think that's more efficient. But then that results into a bad premix, because, you know, I always tell customers, I need my ingredients as well in here to help dilute things out and get good dispersion and stability. And then, you know, also we have, so the inclusion rate's a big factor, because, you know, is it high or low? And sometimes too, the things are just too dilute, and then things get a low way up on our side. So we've had customers that, you know, they want us to weigh up 5 grams of, you know, calcium iodate or something like that and put that into a premix. And I'm like, I can't accurately weigh that and disperse that. So we have to actually concentrate this down. So sometimes there's a balance of, they might want one blend and we have to come down and say, well, we're going to make this into 2 or 3 premixes or 2 or 3 different blends to help meet your targets. Then it's a matter of, you know, making sure that we're sourcing the right raw materials for them. You know, is it in the right particle size? Is it, you know, meeting the right marketing objectives? That's been a big challenge for us lately is, you know, is it non-GMO? Is it, you know, what's the country of origin? You know, antioxidants or other additives. You know, the ingredient industry, they add a lot of additives into their ingredients to help with flowability and, you know, shelf stability. But now a lot of customers are not wanting that. So they want it free of those items. And now that's adds a little complexity to our supply chain, because, you know, we might have, you know, just, you know, with cranberries, we have 5 different sources of cranberries because of different country of origins and additives and concentrations of the polyphenols that are in there and things. And so kind of makes it interesting, but it's also fun to, you know, help deliver on those, you know, targets that they're wanting to deliver on. And then kind of once we get the whole blend set together, it's a matter of just kind of the step back and look at it and go, is this going to flow? Is this, you know, is this going to mix well? Do we need to do adjustments for nutrient degradation? Vitamins, you know, we can, just in the blend alone, we're going to lose, you know, about 10% of the potency over the shelf life. And we like look at vitamin A, we'll lose about 60% of the potency from the day we blend it to, you know, the end of the finished product shelf life. So I got to overformulate by 60% of my vitamin A to account for that degradation. And so we have conversations about shelf life and whatever else they're going to mix this diet into to make sure that, you know, the nutrients are going to be there, you know, when they expect them. And then from there, it's, you know, if we have concerns or challenges, you know, with the blend, we'll send it to the ingredient research center. They'll mock up the blend. They'll test it out, make sure it's going to, you know, flow and be well and supply, so it survive the supply chain. And then from there, we'll send it to production. And reading the shift notes from the main, or from our guys in the plants is quite interesting, because sometimes they'll say, this thing did not flow at all. And you got to dive into that and figure out, you know, what caused that. And then it's a whole other thing. So, but it can be quite the journey with, you know, working with customers and setting up these blends, because of just the diversity of ingredients that we're providing, from vitamins and trace minerals to, you know, blends, like supplement blends that are, you know, toppers and things that are going, you know, and treats and additives. So we're mixing a lot of ingredients that maybe never been blended together before. And then we had the base blends on top of that, where it's a lot of commodity ingredients. So,
yeah, I think, well, with anything that has a scientific basis for quality going forward, that it really, talking to you today, really reinforces how important it is, especially when companies are considering new ingredients or new formulas, to really do a lot of upfront innovation on those products to make sure that the quality is there, that the ability to manufacture and scale up is there. There's a lot of conversations that you need to include your micro ingredient a supplier with, which for many people is Trow Nutrition. So thank you for sharing some of those things today. And my one last question maybe is, what are the top three most interesting new ingredients that Trow is working with?
One is a joint health supplement called UC2, or Undenatured Collagen Type 2. So it's a chicken cartilage that's that when they extract it from chicken, it's not subjected to high heat or anything. But what's unique about this is there's little epitopes that are on that collagen still that actually tell the immune system to decrease the inflammatory cascade, but also tells the joint to start rebuilding itself. And so it's just really interesting in that it helps decrease inflammation and rebuild the joint at the same time, which a lot of times you don't get that with joint health supplements as well. A lot of focus on just phenolic extracts of, whether it be in plants or fruits, vegetables, herbs. We're seeing a lot of customers wanting to, utilize those extracts in their foods and supplements. So that's been interesting. And then just the whole biotic space. So get a lot of questions about prebiotics, postbiotics, probiotics. Pros and cons. So, how do we design blends and supplement powders and treats and things for customers that, really can help enhance that biotic space. And so we're not real basic in that, but we definitely partner with all the experts in the field to, learn the science and the pros and cons. And so when we work with customers, we can help them understand. But for me, particularly coming out of U of I with the, being under Dr. Fahey, the biotic space is really interesting to me. So it's great to see that, that aspect of nutrition taking off in the pet food industry and being able to, utilize that expertise. So
fantastic. And a little George Fahey love at the end. Is always important for the pet food industry. So with that, thank you so much for joining me today, Trevor, and sharing all your knowledge around blending. For everyone who is interested in learning more or partnering with Trow Nutrition, you can find them on the web, and you can also reach out and contact Trevor and his team if you're interested in working with them. So with that, thank you, everyone, and I hope everybody is having a spectacular 2025.
Thanks.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with elite remote talent without a time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on more $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.